Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Amen. Let me ask you guys a question this morning as we get started. Do you belong to Jesus Christ? Take a personal inventory. Ask yourself, would you claim that that is true about who you are? That you belong to Jesus Christ? And here's something that you should pay attention to. Kind of a test that you should run your life against. And it's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. For those of us who say yes, I do claim that my life belongs to Jesus Christ, then Paul, in his letter to Thessalonica here, gives us a measure by which we should hold our life up to. He says, comfort those who are frightened. Take tender care of those who are weak. And be patient with everyone. How many of you have gotten a strike against you so far already? I know I have. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to everyone. Always be joyful. Always keep on praying. No matter what happens, always be thankful. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So back up and look at that verse again there. It says this is His will, this is God's will for those who belong to Christ Jesus. So those of you who nodded your head or raised your hand or vocally said, yes, I would claim to belong to Christ Jesus, then this passage is for you. And part of this passage says, always keep on praying, no matter what happens, always be thankful. You know, this week as we focus on Thanksgiving, it's important to know that as believers, as followers of Christ, as someone who claims to belong to Jesus, we're commanded to live a life that is filled with thanksgiving. Not just one day, or a week, or even a season of our life, but every day we are to always be giving thanks. Always. That should be our attitude. And so that's what I want to look at today is how can we develop a thankful attitude, or if you want to say some alliteration there, how can you develop an attitude of gratitude in your life? Something that goes beyond just a day to celebrate with some turkey and family, but something that is about who you are as a person. Something that gets into the very core of your being. So if we can do that, if we can cultivate this attitude of gratitude, what does it do for us? What are the benefits of living this way and of having a thankful attitude? Well, let's look at that for a few minutes. Thankfulness refocuses our perspective. Thankfulness refocuses our perspective. Are you a cup half full or a cup half empty kind of person? Which one are you? How do you look at things in your life? And how you look at those things in your life, that is your perspective. Scripture tells us to accept my grateful thanks and teach me your desires. When we give thanks to God and ask Him to teach His desires to us, it changes our perspective. It becomes no longer about what I want and what's going on with me, but it becomes about who He is and what He has done. Our perspective has shifted. You know, it's interesting how two people or many people can be looking at the same thing, same object, same situation, same whatever, and have two totally different takes on the same thing, right? I mean, we just came off of an election where that was very clear, that people looking at the same thing are looking at it from two different perspectives, right? Social media is another thing. If you want to know what people think about something, post an opinion on Facebook, right? You're going to find out how many different ways there is to have a perspective on that one situation. Perspective, or a biblical worldview, is one that looks at everything in light of what God says about it and not what we say about it. A biblical perspective or a worldview that is biblical looks at things through God's lens and not ours. Perspective, when we have a our perspective on a situation or on our lives, on a thing, it actually it determines our focus. Perspective determines your focus, and your focus is going to decide your attitude. Are you focused in your life on the good things? Are you focused on the blessings? Are you focused on the good and the right in your life and what's around you? Are you allowing the negative things in life to draw you away from those and change your focus? Are you focusing on the bad? Are you focusing on the negative, on the shortcomings of your life or situations? What is, or are you focusing on your own take on a situation? Because really, if we have a biblical God, a godly perspective on things, we're not looking at them through our lens. We're looking at them through God's lens. Now, I heard a story just this week, and maybe you heard it too if you listen to the local Christian radio station. It was on a syndicated program they have called Keep the Faith. And the story was about this lady who had kind of gotten to the place where she was distraught, and she had crawled out onto the ledge of the building that she lived in. And she was standing there, and she was ready to jump. Well, the police had done their thing and tried to talk her down or whatever to no avail. And one of the policemen finally said, you know what, let me call my pastor in. And so he calls his pastor and says, hey, tells him the situation. His pastor shows up on the scene, and his pastor climbs out on the ledge with this lady, and she says, don't come any closer or I'll jump. And the pastor says, well, I'm sorry that you don't feel like you have anybody who loves you in your life. And she goes, well, I do. My family loves me very much. My husband, is, you know, we've got a good relationship, and my kids love me very much. And he thinks for a second, but he says, well, then I'm sorry that you know you've lost your job or that things are going bad for you. She goes, well, actually, I have a really good job, and things are going well in my business. In fact, I just got a promotion and this kind of stuff. And he said, well, then why do you want to jump? And she goes, I don't remember. And she got off the ledge. But the problem was, her focus was in the wrong place. Her perspective was on maybe some things in her life that weren't going just the way that she wanted them to go. But when she changed her perspective, when she became thankful for the blessings that she had in her life, it wasn't so bad after all. She no longer wanted to end it, so she came down. You know, when we develop an attitude of thankfulness, our perspective is refocused. Perhaps you don't have that yet, and we're going to talk in just a few minutes about how you can begin to foster that in your own life. But perhaps you don't have that focus yet in your life that's on the good, that's on the blessings, that gives you an attitude of gratitude. You need to develop that. You need to begin to make that. And what's going to happen as you begin to develop that attitude of gratitude, your perspective will become refocused. We become a more pleasant person to be around when we're like that. You ever been around somebody that's just an absolute Eeyore? Yeah, man, just sucked the life out of me already, right? But at the same time, you'd be around somebody that's just so full of joy and thankfulness all the time and just always a positive attitude and stuff. It makes you feel better, doesn't it? Because it's about the attitude is there, the attitude of thankfulness. Others, when you have that kind of attitude, others become encouraged to have that same kind of attitude. When you're around someone like that, you know, you kind of think about your own situation. You know, you know what? You're right. I do have a lot to be thankful for. And it actually affects the people around you as you become focused on the blessings that God has put into your life. We're more able to focus on what God wants for us. We see His hand at work around us instead of what we're missing, instead of the things that are broken or the things that are wrong in our lives. And when that happens, ultimately, God gets the glory. And that's what it's really all about, is giving God the glory. The second thing that thankfulness does is it refreshes our heart. Scripture tells us to come before Him, come before God with thankful hearts. Don't harden your hearts as Israel did in the wilderness. You know, thankfulness and a grateful attitude is good for your health. A thankful and a grateful attitude actually will help relieve stress in your life. When you're focused on the things that you don't have, when you're focused on what's going wrong with your life and the things that you don't have going for you, your heart becomes hard. And you begin to start to look at just the sour, the things in life as a, just like a sour push. You become a Grinch in your situation. And you're, when that happens, you're more susceptible to stress and anxiety. And you're kind of all pent up inside yourself. You know what I'm talking about? When you're focused on those things and on everything that's going wrong, when you go from one negative to the next and this isn't going right and that bill and this job situation and that kid, and all of a sudden you're just a big ball of nerves and anxious. That's not good for your heart. But having a thankful attitude refreshes your heart. You know, yesterday I had one of my favorite things in the whole wide world. I got to go hunting. But even more than that, I got to take a kid hunting with me for the first time. I love doing that. I love introducing kids to the woods and getting them to see. And Kate O'Connor came to me and he said, "Man, I'd like to go hunting." I said, I'd love to take you. But what I need you to do is go take your hunter's education course. Well, this is an online course and it's got lots of questions and stuff on it, videos to watch and all this thing. There's sections you have to take tests. I told him that on Monday. Wednesday, he came and he had finished the test. This dude was serious about wanting to go hunting. So we went yesterday and we had a great day. It was a beautiful day in the woods. He did so well with everything and his first time with a firearm and everything. It was great. But we didn't see anything and we didn't harvest anything. And I was just kind of thinking, oh man, I hope he doesn't, this doesn't turn him off from it. But he didn't. He was so thankful. When I talked to him about it, he said, "Man, I'm just glad to be out here. It was just a beautiful day." And his focus, his attitude, man, that blessed my heart. And I knew then that he was probably going to continue with this activity. And it wasn't just a one-shot deal. That he wasn't about the harvest. It was about enjoying God's creation. And that refreshed my heart, that thankfulness, because he could have definitely had, you know, a gloomy outlook. And, "Well, I thought we were going to get something, and here I go, you know, wasted my whole day. Got up early, stayed up late." But no, he had a thankful attitude. And it refreshed my heart, and I know it did his as well. The next thing that thankfulness does for us is it reminds us of God's goodness. Reminds us of God's goodness. Because that's really what we have to be thankful for. "Oh, how grateful and thankful I am to the Lord because he is so good." Amen. We sing that song, don't we? He's a good, good Father. He's so good to me. He's so good to me. And when we focus on those things, we're reminded of God's goodness. You know, it's easy sometimes to be drawn in by negativity. In fact, that's what the enemy wants for us. That's what Satan wants. He wants to draw us into that negative because what that does is it steals our joy. It just sucks it right out of you when you're in that negative attitude. And attacking your attitude of gratitude is one way that he can steal your joy. We don't want him to do that. We don't want him to be able to do that. So when we develop this attitude, this lifestyle of thanksgiving, what it does for us is it brings us to the place where we're reminded constantly of God's goodness. You know, I'm always reminded. In fact, I saw my brother DJ walk in here just a few minutes ago. You know, earlier this year, I broke my leg. And it was horrible. I hated it. I hated having to sit there. I hated having to do this. But it never fails. And you put your own situation up against this. It never fails. You don't have to look very far to find somebody who's got it worse off than you do. Right? I mean, I broke my leg. This poor guy broke just about everything in his body. Right? I mean, it took him a lot longer than it took me to recover and to get back into the swing of things. But that has to do with focusing on the negative. When I was focused on the negative of what was going on, I wasn't able to see the blessings in my life. I wasn't able to see and identify and celebrate the goodness of God in my life. You know, the people of Israel were a great example of this, weren't they? Think about being reminded of God's goodness. Moses had just rescued the people of Israel from bondage, from slavery, from captivity. They'd been there for some 400 years in captivity and slavery. And this wasn't like a resort for them. This was hard labor. It wasn't a good thing for them. They had no possessions. They had no national identity. They had no freedom. And they were working hard. They had nothing of their own. And God showed up through Moses and brought them out of that captivity in a spectacular way. I mean, 10 plagues ending with everything, the firstborn dying, and them being saved from that, and then, I mean, walking up to this body of water, and all of a sudden, whoosh, it was dry land, and they walked through. And if that wasn't enough, God waited till the Egyptian army got in the middle of it and whoosh, sucked them up and killed all them. I mean, all these spectacular things. that happened. Pretty amazing stuff for them to be rescued from Egypt. And all of that, you would think that somebody who experienced all of that would have such a thankful attitude for what God had done for them and their blessings. Yet, you know, it didn't take, if you follow the timeline in Scripture, it didn't take but about 60 days for them to forget all about that and build a golden calf and start worshiping it. They lost focus of God's goodness in their life. And they began to look for other places for fulfillment. That's not a good way to show God that you're thankful for Him and for what He's done, right? Is to build an altar and worship it. You see, when we develop this attitude of gratitude, we stay in a state of thankfulness for God's goodness. It's like a continual thing. It's part of our personality. And our focus stays on the positive. Our focus stays on what God has blessed us with. His countless blessings of provision and protection and love and grace. And when we stay there, when we are constantly reminded of God's goodness in our life, we are less likely to fall into sinful behaviors like the Israelites did here. You see, when we're in that situation, we don't try and find fulfillment in other places because we're reminded of how fulfilled we are in God already. When we're in that constant situation, we're not looking somewhere else to covet what they have and sin in that way because we're so thankful for what God's blessed us with. We're more loving in response to others and how they treat us because we're reminded of the loving goodness of our Heavenly Father. It keeps us from sinning. Helps keep us from sinning when we live in this attitude of gratitude. So how do we do this? How do we develop this kind of attitude in our life? How do we move from being Eeyore to being Tigger, right? Bouncy, bouncy, bouncy. He's always in a good mood, right? And it's not necessarily about being in a good mood. It's about where your focus is. If you're focused on the positive things. So we want to develop this attitude. And how do we do this? Well, first of all, we have to make thankfulness a habit. We have to make it a habit. You know, things that you practice over and over in your life, they become habits, right? And so this is not like, you know, anything else in your life. If you practice thanksgiving, if you practice being grateful in your life over and over, it'll actually become a habit in your life. It'll become a part of who you are. In Psalm chapter 92, it says, "It's good to say thank you to the Lord. Every morning, tell Him thank you for your kindness. And every evening rejoice in all of His faithfulness." That's a habit right there. When you do something every morning, you can't help but have that ingrained in your life. It becomes a part of who you are. And this is a good way to live, right? Yeah. Living with a thankful attitude just makes you a better person. It just makes you somebody that's just a blessing to be around. It makes you more attractive of a person. You know, if you're going to live this way, you're going to have to make it a part of your personality. It's going to have to become a part of who you are. It'll have to become a habit. Living a life of ungratefulness is actually a habit. When your go-to is always the negative, when you're always drawn to the thing that's not going well in your life, and that's where your focus goes, when that's constantly where you go and that's your go-to, it becomes a habit. You've focused on that negative for so long, that's where your default is. Eeyore, right? You have to begin to change that habit and replace that unthankfulness with thanksgiving. And it has to be an act of your will. This isn't something that's going to miraculously happen, boom, all of a sudden. Maybe. God can do that. He certainly can. But it's more likely going to be an attitude that He wants you to develop in your life as you practice thanksgiving, as you practice being thankful. Start off by giving praise every time you want to grumble about something, right? Every time somebody cuts you off in traffic, instead of grumbling about it, praise God they didn't clip my front bumper and I'm not in a wreck. Thank you, God, for protecting me in that situation. You begin to do that in the little things time and time and time again, and you replace those grumbling, negative attitudes with thankfulness. Before you know it, it'll just be who you are. It'll be a part of your habit. It'll be a part of how you live. Start by giving to praise to God when you feel like grumbling. Begin every day like this passage says, with a prayer of thanksgiving. And ask God to change your heart. Because really, that's what it is. It's a heart issue. Unthankfulness, ungratefulness is a heart issue. It's something that's dealing with the very core of who you are. Ask God to change that in your life and begin to make thankfulness a habit. Second thing you need to do is make an inventory of what you're thankful for. How many of you in here are list makers? Anybody? List makers? Not very many of you. That's surprising. My wife is a list maker. In fact, she has to make a list of where all of her lists are so she can keep track of her list. She loves lists. She has to keep track of them all, right? So if you're a list maker, even if you're not, lists can be good. I like checking off things. I do make lists, not as much as she does, but I do like to make lists whenever I have some things that I need to do, maybe around the house or maybe even a day at work, and I know I've got to get these things and make this phone call and send out this email and do this, and I like to go through and see, because at the end of the day, I like to see all the little check marks. Man, I got something done this week, right? Make a list of the things that you have to be thankful for. Make a list of them. In James chapter 5, it says, "And those who have reason to be thankful." Do you have any reasons to be thankful? Make a list of them. They should be continually singing praises to the Lord. If you have reasons, make a list of them. It's a great way to start ingraining, start changing your focus, right? These are the things that I have to be thankful for. And put post-it notes up on your desk or on your bathroom mirror so that's the first thing you see in the morning, are things that you're thankful for. Make an inventory of the things that you're thankful for. Make a list. Remember the suicidal lady that we talked about earlier? When the pastor started listing the things in her life that she was thankful for, all of a sudden her whole focus changed, right? And her attitude became one of thankfulness instead of one of despair. But there was a list there. He was making a list, a mental list for her. There's another story that I want to share with you. That I just was introduced this yesterday. Ruth Gardner sent this to me through Facebook, and I thought, man, that is such a good story. I've got to figure out a way to fit it into my message. And so I think this will work. But I want you to see, and I want you to listen at the point where this young man is sharing with Steve Harvey on his show. He shares with him something about what had happened to him. I want you to pay attention to what his attitude is in this video.
Everybody, we're back with Walter Carr, a really inspiring young man who walked 20 miles to make it to his first day of work. What motivated you to walk instead of calling off your first day?
I just got laid off my job for UPS, so I put in job applications, and nobody would give me a call back. And I was just like, someone just give me that chance, I can show them who I am. And the moving company called me and said, hey, you hired, and I was so grateful for that. My car broke down, my ride bailed on me, and I was like, I was thinking, I can get there. I got two legs and 2 feet. I have a way to get there. So I'm supposed to be there at 7:45 in the morning. I left at 11:40 p.m. that night at 4 o'clock in the morning, right before you get on the highway. I decided to take a two-minute rest. And at that time, Pelham Police Officer came to the side and said, "Hi, are you okay?" I said, "It's going to sound real crazy, but I'm actually heading to work on my first day of the job."
So what happened next?
His friend that knew that me in the area came, picked me up, and drove me the rest of the few miles. And at 6:30 in the morning, we arrived at the home's owner's house, and he went ahead and told them it was okay for me to come in and be this early.
So the homeowner, Jenny, is here. Okay, so you're the homeowner. What'd you think when you opened the door and you found out what had happened to Walter?
To be honest, my eyes just fill with tears. At 6:30 in the morning to hear that story, you just loved him right away. I mean, he just a fine young man, you can tell. And, you know, being a mom, I knew he was tired. I said, hey, why don't you go on upstairs and just take a little rest before we start the move? And that way you can, you know, rest before your team
comes.
Wait a minute,
hold up. You tell this kid to go upstairs in your house in a bedroom and rest.
I did, because I knew he had to be tired. And he said, no, ma'am, I want to get started and help you guys move. Yeah.
All right. So let's get to this part, folks. Luke Marklin, who happens to be the CEO of Bellhop Movers, was so impressed by Walter's determination that he wanted to personally thank him. Check it out.
He's got everything he needs to be a bellhop. The one piece he's missing is, like, a way to get there. So this is my car. I'd like it to be your car.
This whole story is so good. It's so good on so many levels. You know, first of all, young people, to find that type of grit and hustle in a young person today? Today? Jenny was so inspired to help Walter out that she set up a GoFundMe for him. The goal was to reach $2,000. And ended up collecting more than $90,000. Walter, what'd you do?
I gave away $25,000 to Burnham Ed Education Foundation that was in the high school. With that organization, get high school students ready to go into college life and get ready for
So
us.
You knew about this organization?
Yes, I was in it in high school.
Oh, you were in it?
Yes, they made me to be the Walter I am today.
Really?
Thank you.
You know him?
Yes, I know him.
Mr. Carpenter, what would you like to tell Walter?
Well, Walter, you've inspired me. You've inspired thousands of people all over the world. And with your permission, we want to use the donation that you gave us to start the Walter Carr Award. And
I mean, for him to do that in your name, for this woman to open up her home, for this guy to give you a car, it's still a lot of good people in this country, man. It's still a lot of good people who care. It just is, man. It just really does take a village. You 20.
Yes, sir.
You ain't see this coming?
No, sir, I didn't. And you my biggest idol. I always analyze you throughout my whole life. Every show, everything you do, I have always been and watch.
Hey, man, don't do this to me today.
It's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be here. To see my biggest idol and be right here with you is a blessing to me. And I thank God for it. I really do.
See, you know, man, what's crazy about this is if you're a spiritual person, you ain't missing this. You just got to see how it all come together. You have no idea who God made you to be. But you got to hang in there to find out. You can't give up. It's at your darkest moments he show up. He show up, he be shining, man. God show up. See, the color is all out of this story. This ain't a story about color. This is really the truth about who we are and who we supposed to be. It ain't supposed to be no, oh, God, he can't come stay in my house. Who that little black man at the house? Call the police. The police, we keep hearing about how they don't pick us up. They do pick you up. The police will go get you something to eat. Every police ain't shooting us. We got to start telling these stories, man, because these are stories that's got to get out because it inspires other people. This is so crazy the way this happening. Who lets somebody they don't know come in their house and go upstairs and lay down? Who gives away a car? Who puts a scholarship? You got a scholarship in your name, dog. That's crazy. Do you see that? That's, well, Walter, you done messed me up to date, and that's not.
I had to find a way to work that in today. It's got more to it. You ought to watch it. Go to their Facebook page or to his YouTube channel or whatever. You can see the rest of that story. But what I wanted you to pick up in that was that could have gone a whole different way. That could have gone a completely different way. If when his ride fell through and things didn't go right, he could have had a bad attitude about it. But when Steve Harvey asked him, what motivated you to walk 20 miles to get to your job? He said, when they called me and said I had that job and I was hired, I was grateful that I had a job. And it motivated him to do good stuff. And that motivated others to do good stuff. And all this good stuff started happening because he was motivated by thankfulness and by gratitude. When you're making your list of things that you're thankful for to change your focus and to help you develop this attitude, make sure that you populate that list with people. You see, this story was full of people who were doing good things for somebody that they didn't even know. And that's something to be thankful for. Think about your life. I guarantee you, as I even said that, there's names and faces that popped into your head of people in your life that you're thankful for. that they've done good things for you and that you've got this blessing. And it'll begin when you focus on those things. It'll begin to develop in you this attitude of gratitude. Put on that list things that's healthy. Maybe there's a lot that's wrong with you. Maybe there's a lot of health issues that you have. But make a list of things that aren't wrong with you. The things that are good in your life. I'm thankful that this is my situation. I'm thankful that my son was able to get the care that he needed this week. You know, I could focus on the negative or I can focus on the positive. Make a list of those things that are there. Your job. Be thankful, like this young man was, that he had a job. I'm thankful for that. And instead of focusing on the negative, focus on that. Your church. I know there's a lot to be thankful for here. God's doing some incredible things in and through the fountain. And I'm thankful for that. That list will remind you of the reasons that you have to be thankful. And finally, the way that we can develop this attitude of gratitude is to make God be the source of your thankfulness. You see, God not only is the object of our thankfulness, but He's also the source of our thankfulness. He's the one that gives us the very ability to be thankful and to recognize those good things. In fact, really, this should be the first thing in the list, right? Is to recognize that God is the source of our thankfulness. To give God the glory. Every good situation in your life. That's another thing I loved about this story. Where did it end up? It started off with Walter. Where did that end up? It ended up with God, didn't it?
Yes.
Steve Harvey on national television was giving praise to the Lord.
Amen.
God got the glory because of thankfulness. He should be the beginning, the source of your thankfulness. He should be the main reason that you're thankful. The grace that abounds to you in your life. His inescapable love. If you need something to be thankful for, read the end of chapter 8 of Romans. For I am convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of God. And then there's a list of things that could possibly separate us. But he said, nope, not going to happen. God's love, the inescapable love of God is a reason. His mercies, man, I am thankful for His mercies. I blow it enough in my life that His mercies abound to me, right?
Yes.
So reason to be thankful. He's provided, and the main reason, and we talked about this today as our worship team this morning took communion, we talked about the fact that the main reason that we have to be thankful is represented by that cross right there.
Amen.
Jesus Christ paying the ultimate price for us. And if that's the only thing that you have good going for you in your life, it's a reason to have an attitude of gratitude. He is the source of our thankfulness. In Hebrews it says, since we have a kingdom nothing can destroy. You know that's where we live, right? We're just passing through this place. This isn't our home. We have a kingdom that nothing can destroy. An everlasting, eternal kingdom. The kingdom of God. Since we have a kingdom that nothing can destroy, let us please God by serving Him with thankful hearts and with holy fear and awe. God is the source of our thankfulness. God should both be the recipient and the very source of our thankfulness because it's through Him and in Him that we even live and move and breathe, Scripture tells us. That if it wasn't for Him, the very breath that we take would not be available for us to even live. He is the source of the air that we suck in. To be able to breathe out and say thank you is because of Him. He is the source of our thankfulness. So yield to His Spirit as He shows you areas of your life, maybe where you're not thankful. Yield to His Spirit where He shows you and says, hey, let's examine this area over here. You got a little bad attitude going on in this area towards this coworker about this situation. Yield to His Spirit in that situation. And allow Him to replace that bad attitude with an attitude of gratefulness. Let Him be the source of that thanksgiving when you can't do it on your own. Yield to His Spirit in the areas where you're being ungrateful and trust in His power to transform you into a person who has an attitude of gratitude. Because that's what He's about. He's in the business of making transformations in our lives. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, don't yield to the way that this world thinks, but be conformed to God by the renewing of your mind. Allow Him to transform your mind by renewing it, by His Spirit. He can do that. That's the power that He has in your life. He has the power to transform you into a person who has an attitude of gratitude. And one final thought. If God is the source of your thankfulness, if God is the source of your thankfulness, then you will always be thankful because He is always with you. He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. And you'll constantly be reminded of the goodness of God. We have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. So, by way of application, what I want you guys to do right now, and then we're going to transition into communion here in a few minutes. Well, let's do this. Let's do them together. Let's do communion and this activity together. So we're going to stand in just a moment. We're going to receive communion. There's tables in the front and the back. This right here is really what it's all about, remember? This is remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross, His broken body, His shed blood for us. That's really the source of all the reason that we have to be thankful. But I guarantee you that it wouldn't take much to think of something else in your life that you're thankful for. And as a point of application, after you've received communion and gotten, or maybe before you receive communion, let's do it before. Before you receive communion today, find somebody in this room that you're thankful for. Somebody in this room that you're thankful for, and go and tell them. And I don't want you to just say, Grant, thank you, I appreciate you, buddy. But I want you to be very specific. I am thankful that you are a pastor in my boy's life. That means a lot to me. Prayed for you for a long time. I have. Because my boys deserve a good pastor. I'm thankful for that. Find somebody that you're thankful for. And before you come and take communion, give thanks. Let's stand together and do that right now.
May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you. Let Him protect you and may He be gracious towards you. May the Lord look on you with favor and establish you in His peace. May you rejoice always. May you pray without ceasing and be thankful in every situation you meet this week. We pray this in the Lord's name. Amen. Amen.